Today's daf is daf Pei Aleph, and we're holding on Pei Amud Beis, two lines above the wider lines at the two dots. We're holding Masechet Bava Metzia, six perek, and this is the On the Road series, this time speaking to you from Finland, on the Baltic. V'kulan shamru tol et shelcha, v'avei ma'ot shomer chinam. So now, the Mishnah said that if the repairman was working on kablanut, so he's contracted, and it's staying in his workshop, he gives you a telephone call, and he tells the owner of the mixer, come and take your mixer, please, and you can bring the money later. The din is that he has a din of a shomer chinam. Now, tznan hatam, we're going to see in the Mishnah later, that where you have a shoel who borrowed something from his friend, the omar lo ha-shoel, now the shoel tells the owner, do me a favor, shalach li, send me the animal that I'm borrowing, from along with your gopher, so some shliach mishalcha, and the baalim sends it indeed as the shoel has requested, and on the road to the shoel the animal dies umeita. At that point, even though it's an onus, but a shoel is chayven onasin, chayav, the shoel has to pay because he's chayven onasin, and since he had told the owner that he should send the animal to him through this person, that means that he was accepting that the moment that it's given to that person, it would be in his reshus vis-a-vis taking responsibility for what happens along the road as well. And the truth is that that works in the inverse as well. V'chein b'sha'asha machazira, when the borrower gives it back to the owner, so that if initially it was sent by the shoel, now to the owner, in the hand of the shoel's shliach, and the Baalim did not say to him to send it, then if the animal died, the Shoel would be Chayev. Omar, Afram Bapapa, Omar of Chista, Loshonu, when do we say that if the Shoel sent it, that Dafka el Ashir Zira betoch Yemesha Elata, that's only if it was sent back before the Sheela expired. So at that time, he remains responsible until the end of the borrowing period. But La'achar Yemesha Elata, if it had already expired, and now he would have no right to use it any longer. So let's say he said, let me just borrow it for a day. The day is over. Now he sends it back. So over there, even if it would have died in the house of the Shoel, forget about it, on the way home, it would be patur. Because at that point, since he's no longer using it, he's not considered to be a Shoel, and he's not chayven onasim. Mativ Rav Nachman Bar Papa. So Rav Nachman Bar Papa asks against Rav from Bar Papa's ma'amar that we just had, that once the Yishela period is expired, he no longer has a din of chayav bonasin, from the case of our Mishnah. Here it says, v'chulam, she'amru, all of the contractors, repairmen, who say to the owner, tolet shelcha, please come pick up your mixer, va'avei ma'ot, and then bring money for the repair. The din is that they are a shomer chinam. Now, it seems quite clear that the fact that the person called up the owner and he said, take your mixer back, only at that point do we say that he no longer has a din of a shomer sachar, he now has a din of a shomer chinam, because he's telling him, I don't want to be responsible for your mixer anymore, come and pick it up. But suppose he hadn't. Suppose he just would have called and said, your mixer's ready. Ha, gemartiv. If he said, I finished fixing your mixer, and he didn't say to take it, then he would retain his halacha of being a shomer sachar. Even though the owner knows that at this point he could come and take it at any time, that does not say that the repairman is no longer a shomer. Now that should be true in the case that we just had of the shoel. Even though the baalim knows that the period is now expired and he's no longer a shoel, that does not mean that until it gets back to the house of the owner, that the shoel no longer retains responsibility as a shoel for onasim. He certainly does. So you see from here that until such time that it gets back at the house of the baalim, the shoel ought to be chayav. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. Lo, it is not correct to learn out from this Mishnah the implication that if he just would have said gemartiv, then he would have been a shomer sachar. Actually, what you should be medayik is as follows, that if you say Tolet shelcha, come pick it up, so then he changes into a shomer chinam. Ha, but in a case where he would have said, Havei ma'ot v'tolet shelcha, bring me money to pay for the repair, and then you can have your mixer back. So then what he's saying is, I intend to keep this mixer until I'm paid. Then he has a din of a shomer sachar, because in fact, since he's keeping it now as a mashkin towards being paid, so it's valuable for him to keep, and that's considered to be the sachar for his shmirah. So what are you saying, says the Gemara? Aval gemartiv. If he would have simply said, it's ready, which would mean it's ready and you could come pick it up. So over there you can't say that he's intending to keep it in order to be paid. He hasn't said anything about being paid. When he says gemartiv, the mashmaut is that you could pick it up. So then you would say that at that point, indeed, he's not getting anything out of keeping it, and he has a din of a shomer finam. That's what you're implying. If that's the case, hi-hachi. So then why would the Mishnah take a lesser chiddush instead of telling you the cases for chulon sha'om l'tolet shachav avimaot? That if you say you can pick it up and pay later, that then he has a din of shomer chinam, because then he's telling you, I don't intend to keep it till you pay, I trust you. So then you could have said an even bigger chiddush. Suppose he didn't address being paid at all. Nashmi'ina, tell us a chiddush that even in a case where he said gemartiv, okay, it's ready, that he would still be a shomer chinam, since he's no longer intending, he's intending to keep it to be paid. And then I would know, obviously, if he says, tola shelcha, and you don't need to pay me before taking it, and it's ready to be given over to you, then in that case, obviously, he would have a din of a shomer chinam. Answers the Gemara, no, you know why the Mishnah said the case of tola shelcha, it's because it's a chiddush, it's trichale, we need that case. Because, I might have thought that if the guy says, tol et shelcha, he's not even a shomer chinam. He's basically telling the man, look, I don't want to keep this thing anymore. Now get it out of here. And I'm telling you, I refuse to be responsible. In which case, he would be chayev for nothing. So shomer chinam nami lo havi kamash van. Therefore, it tells us the Tana. When he says, tol et shelcha, it doesn't mean I don't want to be a shomer and I refuse any responsibility. He has to watch it the way a shomer chinam has to watch it. But his intent here is to say that, look, I'm not keeping this to collect from. And therefore, I do not want to be a shomer sachar who is going to be responsible for geneva v'aveda. Ikrei Amri, others say over this discussion as follows. Omer Rav Nachman bar Papa, af anan nami tanina. We ourselves actually learned in the Mishnah, exactly like Rafram bar Papa said, quoting Rav Chisda, that once the period of the Sheila is completed, the Sheol is pater. And in this version, he actually brought a raya to Rafram bar Papa and Rav Chisda from the Mishnah. As follows. And in this version, the Gemara now says, does that not mean my lot? That it would really not matter if he says, Tolet Shachav Avimot, he would just call up and say, Gemartim. And basically, that's the idea. He's not a Shomer Sachar, he's a Shomer Chinam, and he's just not intending to keep it for collection. And again, we're assuming the reason it says Tolet Shulcha is, as we said earlier, that you shouldn't think that it's a denial of all responsibility, even on the level of a Shomer Chinam. But it really shouldn't matter. So from there, you see, that once the job is finished, either the case of the craftsman where he finished the tikkun, or the case of the shoel where he finished the Yemei HaSheilah, he would indeed not be chayav on other sins. Says the Gemara, lo, it's actually not similar. The case of Gemartiv is not correctly assumed to be the same as Tol et Shelcha. It's actually, the Tol et Shelcha is shiny over there. It's very different, because since he said Tol et Shelcha, and then bring money, so then at that point he's saying, I don't intend to keep it. But, I mean, if he would have just said Gemartiv, he would still be a Shomer Sachar. He's saying, it's ready. Okay, so bring your money and collect. Hunamar Bamarima says now, Kameda Ravina, Rami Masisnadat. He was learning, and he pointed out a stira in front of Ravina of the Mishnayot, and he took those stira and he explained it basically according to what Rafram had said in the name of Rav Chisda. Here's what he said. He said, tonight, on the one hand, the Mishnah says, V'chulan shom utolat shachav avimaot is a shomer chinam. And the assumption would be that it really wouldn't matter if he said gemartiv, or he said tolat shelcha, right? So he would still have a din of a shomer chinam, Ramino. My question on that is from the following. Omar lo shoel, shalach, if the shoel tells the owner, send me the animal with your gopher. Ushachani sends it. Umeita, now it dies along the road. The shoel would be chayev, because from the time that the owner responded to his request for the shipment of the para, he was taking responsibility. And if the shoel gives it back, if he hadn't been instructed specifically to send it back in this fashion, so then he's the one who's still responsible for the onasim. Now we're assuming that that is talking about even after the period of the sheila was concluded. So therefore, he ought to be the same as the case of the oman, who is no longer responsible when he says, I finished it, right? In which case, the two Mishnayot are a contradiction. And he explained, Hunamar Bar Marima explained the contradiction based on the din of Raphram. Umishane Omer Raphram Rapop Omer Chista. Lo Shana, when do we say that a shoal who sends it back is chayim until it gets home? That's only Allah Sheikhzir Batoch Yume Sheilata if it was sent back before the expiration of the period of the Sheila. Avalacha Yume Sheilata. Indeed, even if this animal would have died in the guy's house, the shoal's house, we're not sending it back. Then in that case, if he sent it back, it died on the road or in his house, he would be potter, because from the moment that he completed the Sheila, at that point, he would already be potter from Onasim. Iboilo. The question over here was, when Raphram was quoting Rav Chisda, that after the conclusion, he would be potter, does that mean he would be potter from Onasim? Potter Mishoel? In other words, he's no longer a Shoel, but I mean, he certainly retained the responsibility on the level of a Shomer Sachar. So it would be Chayev and Gereb of Aveda. Or Dilmor, perhaps it means Shomer Sachar Namilohavi. He would even be part from Gereb of Aveda. And all he has to be careful about is not being negligent with it. So it would have the din of a Shomer Chinon. Well, it's Mistavid, he's part of Shoel, but he would be Chayev to Shomer Sachar. Because look, and the bottom line is that this entire transaction was for his benefit, right? So Yilva Nehenet, since he enjoyed the fact that he had this animal with him when he was borrowing it, so then that means, he's not paying for it, that means, mehanehave, he is willing, therefore, to give something in exchange for that. What's he giving in exchange? His exchange is that he's accepting responsibility, actually, as the Shomer Sachar. Tanei Kavatei de Ameimar. In fact, we have a brighter that says exactly what Ameimar just said, that he's considered to be, although he's not a shoal, to be chayav on asim, he is still a Shomer Sachar because of the benefit of the She'ela that he just had. So it says in the Braita that if somebody who is a chatan, and he goes and he's okach kelimi beit ha'uman, l'shagran lebeit chamiv, he wants to send now a gift to his dear kala. So he goes ahead, he goes into a diamond factory, and he takes some jewelry in order to send it to the house where his kala lives with his in-laws-to-be. Now, Marlo, he says to the company, he says, look, so then, look, they're not too happy about me being the chatan, you know. So if they're ready to accept the gift, then that's a sign already, you know, I'm in good shape, they'll keep it, I'll pay for it. But if not, if they send it back, this is on consignment. So I'll pay you basically a rental value for the fact that they see at least I tried to give them a gift. They didn't accept it, but whatever that's worth. Okay, so the guy gives it to him on that basis. It's like a consignment. And what happens is, when they are destroyed through something that's not under his control, maybe a highway robber, whatever the case is. So now, if it was Bahalikha on the way to the Beit Chamiv, so then he would be chayev to pay, even for Onasim, because it's as if he already bought them. And if you lose your own thing, obviously it's your own responsibility. As long as it hadn't yet been determined that it was going to be returned, the idea over here is that if I'm taking it with the thought that I will buy it if everything is okay, and that we already have decided on the price and so on, so long as it hasn't been returned, or hasn't been determined that it will be returned, it's considered to be his. Okay, this is a sugya which we'll be getting to later on in Baba Batra. But if it's on his way back where he's going to return it, so then he's patur. And look at these words, mipnei shehu kenosei sachar. He has been of a shomer sachar. And the sachar, obviously, I mean, why is he shomer sachar? He wasn't being paid. So obviously the sachar is that he was able to use this thing to show to his father-in-law-to-be, and that he was trying to be a good chatan that wanted to give a gift. So you see that even though that's being paid for, he still has a din of a shomer sachar. And it's talking about after the days that he took it, and certainly a shoel who isn't even paying for it, it would certainly be considered to be nene, would have a din of a shomer sachar, even though he's no longer using it, and it's ma'achar yimesha elata. Now, who gave it? It was this gentleman, the Zavan Echarma Lechavre. He sold his donkey to a friend. Well, Marley, so the buyer says to the seller, I want to come tina leila duchta ploni. I'm going to take this chamor to such and such a town, where they have the auctions on Hamorim. See, Mizdavna Mutav, if I manage to get it sold, then I'll pay you off. And if not, I'm going to give it back to you so that I'm taking it on consignment. And he agrees. He goes ahead now. So he goes to the town, and it was not sellable. And so he decides, okay, he's going to bring it back. On his way back, itnis, something happened to the chamor, and now the guy wants his money for the chamor. And so it came to the Beit Din of Rav Nachman, the suit, and Chayve. Rav Nachman said that the buyer indeed had to pay the value of the chamor to the gentleman that had sold it, even though it was sold on consignment. The problem was bonus, itnis. It was an absolute bonus. Eitve Rav Nachman, Rav S. Rav Nachman, from the Braita that we just had, that if somebody takes something, let's say jewelry from the Beit Oman, on consignment, the din over there is that Nensu, Balicha, Yerchayev, but Bechazara, which was the case over here, it was already going back, after it was determined that he didn't want to accept it, he's Potter. Because he's a Nose Sachar, we said. And you're being Bechayev him on an Ones, like a Shoel. Omar Le, so Rav Nachman says it's not true. Because this case is not on its way back. He is not returning it yet. You're saying, boy, I mean, he's going in the direction. That's all very nice, he's going in the direction. But every town that he stops in, he's still trying to sell this chamor. So for all intents and purposes, it's still halicha. Because as long as you're going to be able to sell it, it's not similar to the case of Beit Chamiv, where once he leaves Beit Chamiv, then that's it. It's the end of the consignment. Over here, the consignment continues until it actually gets back to the factory, and he hasn't managed to make a dime on it or sell it anywhere. And therefore, in this case, it's halicha. There is no chazara. My taima, it's a simple svara. I mean, certainly, if he got a chance to sell it to somebody in some town that he's stopping off to on his way back, isn't he going to sell it? And if that's the case, he has not yet returned it, even in his mind. Now, the next thing we learned in the Mishnah was that if somebody tells a friend, shmor li v'shmor lecha, you watch my suitcases, I'll watch your suitcases. The din is that he's a shomer sachar. He's bechayving the name of Aveda because the actual exchange is the sachar. The question is, why would we say that he's chayev at all? If it's an exchange, then we have that strange gzerata katuv, ba'alav, the ein ba'alav imo, only in a case where the owner is not working with you together. At that point, you're chayev, but if the Baalim is working together, you're not having any of the chiyuvim of the shomer. And therefore, forget about the theoretical din of his getting sachar, but there's a p'tur over here of Baalavimo. So why don't we say shmirah b'baalimi? Since the Baalim are working for him at the same time, he should certainly be patur. Now, remember the underlying logic of this, of Baalav, in Imo, which we've spoken about many times in terms of the structure of the Nezikin issues, where on the surface it seems to be absolutely crazy. In fact, it's so fundamentally part of the logic of the way the Torah approaches all of these dinim of chiyuvim for somebody else's property. They are all based on a transference of elements of ba'alut to you. So in other words, when you act as the ba'alim, as the shoel, you become the ba'alim. And to whatever extent some element of the Baalut, and that's what's so beautiful about the parsha of the Shomrim and Ezekiel, is that we can actually parse the various functions and elements of Baalut into their separate parts for the purpose of the separate Chiyuvim in all of these cases. And the point is, though, that if the Baalim and you are interrelated outside of this, then it turns out that you're not stepping into the shoes of the Baalim, you're together with the Baalim, and it's never left him in that sense. And because of that, none of these chiyuvim kick in, even though, from the point of view, an intuitive point of view, the way we would naturally look at the chiyuv, that makes absolutely no sense. But the mechanisms of this chiyuv, existentially, the way the Torah views it, it makes a great deal of sense. So the problem over here is that the Mishnah is presenting us with a case which everything makes sense except one thing. The non-intuitive part. That is, if the Baalim is there, you shouldn't have to pay. Omer of Papa, what he's got to be talking about is that the Baalim was not involved during the same period. And the case of the Mishnah was, the Omer lo shmor li hayom, you do me a favor, watch my suitcase today, and then I'll do it at some other time for you. So they shmor lecha lemachar, and that is considered to be sachar, but there is no mixing of the Baalut at the time, and therefore it's just a simple case of shomri. Tana Rabbana, when we have a similar issue in the following bright. Man says to his friend, Shmor li v'shmor lecha. Hashi leni v'shilcha. You lend me this, I'll lend you that. Shmor li, you do me a favor, watch my suitcase, and I'll do you a favor in lending you my lawnmower. V'shilcha. Or, you lend me your lawnmower, I'll do you a favor, and I'll watch your suitcase. Whatever. Kula nazir shor misachar zalazah. In all of these cases, because there's a bartering, it's considered to be for sacha. And therefore, you're chayving in Ebev Aveda. There too, ask the Gemara about that bright amai. don't we say it would be Shmirah B'Baalim? And there too, Amar of Papa, the Omar Le, obviously that to be talking about the cases of Shmor Li Hayom, Shmor Lechal Machar, or Shilini, Shil Chamachar, and so on. And therefore there's no problem of Baal Avimo, because Baal Avimo is not the transactional issue of Baal Avimo, but the actual involvement of the Baalim at the time. Now, hot laundry soap that they made it out of aloe, or it was a type of perfume, and they would travel from place to place, and they had an understanding between the Tuchol Yuma, the Afil Echad Minayu. One of them would take the turns for baking, cooking for the rest of the camp. Now, Hu Yuma, it came time for kitchen duty of one of them, and he asked a favor from another one, and Rolei Echad Minayu, do me a favor, Zil Afilan, go ahead now and bake for us. And he said, okay, but I'll tell you what, you, not to legally moi, you take care of my suitcase and my stuff, and I'll go and I'll do the baking. Now, the Ata, Pashuba, and what happened is, by the time he got back from baking, he finds that the guy didn't watch it properly, and in fact, the suitcase was stolen, the ignorant. So he sues the guy, not to the Kamina Rav Papa. And Rav Papa said, well, you got to pay. Chayvino. So the Rabbanim that were there said to Rav Papa, what do you mean, Chayvino? The guy made a deal that he's going to be doing something for him. He's doing the baking. So then it's a pshiyaba baalimi. How could you be chayiv? Iksif, Rav Papa was terribly embarrassed. Lesov the gloy milt. In the end, it turned out that actually, Ahu Shata, at the time that he gave him over his thing to watch, the guy was sitting in a bar drinking beer. Therefore, it's not considered to be baalim, because at the time that he became a shomer for him, he had not given over himself to do anything of his KP, and he was busy, indeed, drinking beer. But had he walked into the kitchen and started working, then Enav Hinami, it would have been Bibalim. So it's like, well, now that only works out. There is a machlokas about whether the din of Baal Avimo is limited to the specific halachas of Shmira, that's what we got beginning of Veda, Ointim, and so on, or whether it's even a halacha in actual pshia. So, okay, if it's an actual pshia that you would be potter, so that would explain why Rav Papa was embarrassed, because over here it was an actual pshia, it said. And nonetheless, he should have been potter, and I had said that he was chayat. But according to the Mandioma, that pshia, real pshia, even with the case when it's together with the baaling, he would be chayav. We're going to see this later on, and explain the machlokas later. So that the assumption is now that the potter is dafka on the extra chiyuvim of the shoel and the Shomer Sachar, but where we're talking about a pshia, the Torah never would have patterned it. We'll see what that's based on in terms of understanding the pasuk, whether it's a reference to Shomer Chinam or not. So then, according to that Mandioma, there was nothing really for Rav Papa to be embarrassed about, because Baal Avimo doesn't apply to a case of pshia. And we were talking about pshia. Amai Yichsif, so why was Rav Papa embarrassed? Nothing to be embarrassed about, because he didn't make any mistake, even if the guy had started baking right away and wasn't in a pub. So what exactly is the issue? The truth is, Elahu Yuma, that day that he asked him to bake was Lavdi Dehavi. It was not his turn. Omer Leila Didei. So the other guys asked him, Zilafilan At, do us a favor and take over our day and bake for us. V'yamarlu, and he told them, Bahu Agra de Kafina, Lechuna Torah Glimoi. Okay, but to give me some value for my taking over your turn, what I want you to do is watch over my coat. All right. So, Adi Ata Ignif. And when the guy came back, he found out that it was stolen. But not that there was a pshia. Rather, there was Ignuv. Auto the Kami Rav Papa. So they come to Rav Papa. And Chayvinu, he was Mechayev them. And Omer Rabbanan Rav Papa. Isn't it a Shmir of a Baalim? And he got embarrassed, Yechsev. And the Sovik Loi Milta Lehi Shaita Shikh Ravishad. It turns out he was never baking anyway. He was too busy drinking his beer, and he didn't do the baking until afterwards, and therefore it's not called Shmir of a Baalim, and we're not talking about a case of negligence in this version at all. How did they try? There were two guys, Davi, called Mazgo Biurcha, were walking together along the road. Chad Orech v'chad Gutsa. One of them was a tall fellow, and the other one was a short fellow. And the taller guy, Aricha, was riding on a chamor. And the other guy, and he had Avile Sadina, he had this beautiful linen sheet here. And the Gutsa, the short guy, he was Mechasi Sarvala. He was wearing this coat, and he was walking along. Komaski Bekare, he was walking along on his feet. So over there, he wasn't covered. The taller guy wasn't covered with the sadin. And we're going to see later on exactly why that's an important point. So that there was a sadin that was with him. This is the mashmud of our lashon. There's also another lashon, another gerse that talks about his michse besadin. He was covered with it. So we'll have to see how it fits in later on the sugya. But anyway, they come now, they're walking along, and they come to a river. So Kimati Lanahara, when they come to this river, Shakle Lisarble, the short guy, takes his coat, the Otve Iluicham, and he puts it, in order for it not to get wet, because it would never ever dry, so it's a thick wool thing, so he puts it on the back of the chamor. Veshakli Lisadini, they were taking this other guy's linen sheet to use now as his coat. So that's a little bit strange because the mashmut is the other guy didn't know. How can you not know if he was covered with it? And therefore, we don't have the girsa. We have the arich of a havi le sadina. With the girsa, he was covered with the sadin. The case is a little bit funny. But anyway, the short guy takes the sadin and covers himself with it instead of his thick coat. And as they're crossing, the current was much faster than he thought. And shetafu amay le sadina, the sadin was washed away in the water. And lost.
His original sadin, the good one.
The tall guy's sadin, which had been taken by the short guy, was washed away. So Otel came to Rava, and Rava said, well, he's chayev. He borrowed the guy's sadin, and he's chayev bonasin. Amrula Rabban on the Rava, why would he be chayev? She'elah b'baal himi. Since over here the tall guy is carrying on his chamor the other guy's coat, so then that's a classic case of shmira b'baal himi. And Rava was embarrassed by that he hadn't thought of that angle. If then it turns out that he didn't know about it. And again, as I mentioned, that's a little bit of a problem. He was wearing it. But he didn't know about it, and therefore there was never an agreement to watch it for him. He had done this whole thing behind the guy's back, literally. And therefore, in that case, he's a typical shalom yidat. He hasn't been a gazlan. As a gazlan, obviously, he's going to be chayev in onasin. It was a guy who rented out his chamor to a friend of his, Omar Leh, and he told the renter, look, Chazi, that lo teza b'ruchat Nahar Pekod. I want you to be careful not to use my chamor on the Nahar Pekod road, because there's always water on the Nahar Pekod road, and there's been too many accidents there. Take the Urchat Narish. Make sure that you take the highway to Narish. Over there, it never floods, the Lakamaya. So this guy goes in Ozio, but Urchat Nahar Pekod. He takes instead the road less traveled, and he wasn't supposed to go there. And indeed, the chamor dies. Now, ki'ata, when the guy gets back, and he wants to, the guy wants him to pay, he says, well, it's true, in. Actually, I did go on the Nahar Pekod road, which you told me not to, but I only went there, there was no water there, you see. And I figured you wouldn't mind anyway, so lekamaya. And the animal died, it didn't have an accident, or my leg. So Rava says to him, because this is somewhere of the Gersa before, ki'ata lekami to Rava, not ki'ata, which makes more sense. So Omar Lay, so he said to them in the Beit Din, oh, look, Malay le Shakir, Iboy, Armalay, Anaburg and Narish Hazar. We have to believe him because Amigu, he could have said that he went on the Narish road. And since he said he went on the Nahar Pekod, so therefore we have to trust him when he says also that there was no water. And therefore he does not have to pay because it's a din of Meita Miatzmo, Meita Miatzmo. Over here, since he was a Socher, he would be patur from onasim. Omar le Abaye, so Abaye said to Rava, now wait a second over here. This Mali le Shakir is going to work as a migu, but now you're trying to use it as a migu b'mokom edin. Because the fact that the Nahar Pekod road is always overrun with water is basically known. In other words, it's equivalent of edut. So if that's the case, we cannot accept the Mali le Shakir as and take the place of what we know to be the fact. And therefore, we should paskin over here that he has to pay since he went against the rotzen of the owner who told him not to go there. Now, the next thing we had in the Mishnah is that if somebody says, Shemorli, take care of my thing, v'amarlo hanach lefanai, and he says, just set it down, that he has halacha v'sher mechina. Says the Gemara, Mervuna, somebody who says, Omarlo hanach lefanecha, where the guy says, okay, just put it down where you're standing in front of you. That case, he's neither a Shomachina nor a Shomachina. He's basically saying, I don't want any responsibility. So he's saying, you can set it down in front of yourself, meaning you on your own cognizance. But I'm certainly not taking any responsibility. Iboilo. Now, they in the Beis HaMedrash, they question, in the case where the guy would say, Hanach. He didn't say Lefanach, he just set it down. Stoma. What would be the din over there, Mai? Would he have a din, at least of a Shomachina, or is he saying, set it down on your own cognizance? Tashma. Shmor li v'amar lo hanach lefanai, then he has a din of a shomer chinam. But the mashmut is if he just would have said hanach and he didn't say the word lefanai, he would be nothing, v'lo klum, not even a shomer chinam. Says him on the contrary. Adarabba, you could prove the opposite from Ravuna. And only if he said, put it in front of yourself. Only in that case where he specified, look, you said it out in front of yourself, leave me out of this. So then he would not be Mekabel Shmirah. But it's not Mashma Stoma.
Sorry.
If he had simply said, set it down, Nanach, then he would be at least a Shomer Chinam. Because, I mean, if just Hanach itself would have been sufficient to tell me he's not a Shomer at all, Ravuna could have said a bigger Chiddush. She could have said just Hanach. So clearly, if we put together the Mishnah and Ravuna's explanation, it's obvious that we're not dealing with that diak. They were not coming to tell me this particular halacha. Now, obviously, normally when we say lekalamishmamina, we can't do that from swinging back and forth between the Mishnah and Ravuna. That's a little bit silly. I mean, if the Mishnah means something, and there's no reason to say the Mishnah doesn't mean what it says, that only in a case where he said that it should be Hanach lefanayim, and that should be a good diak. Who cares what Ravuna said? It must be, said the Rishonim, that it's talking about over here. We know that Ravuna was a comment on the Mishnah and knew what the Mishnah's implications were. That was not discussing the specific lashon of lefanay or lefanech, or as opposed to stam hanach, and that's why we have a right to be medayik. It's not that we're really swinging back and forth between a diak and the Mishnah, a diak and Ravuna, obviously. Okay, so therefore, shall we say, says the Gemara, so we say that this question is dependent in a machlokas tanoim. Because remember, we had back in Bava Kamma, we had the Mishnah about this guy who was carrying pots to sell pottery, and he's coming into somebody's yard, or he had his shor, he's coming to somebody's yard, and it was attacked by the shor of the owner of the yard. Classic mailman case. If he went in with the rishus of the owner of the chatzer, then he would be chayav to pay for any nesek. Because the moment he gives him permission to come in, that is the equivalent of accepting upon himself the achrayut that the person should not be damaged. So then that would imply that that's true about also hanach. He means, I'll take care of you. Rebbe Omer, bechulam, in all of these cases, the cases of the kadar, or the cases of the shor, the perot, in o chayav, the balachatzer is not chayav achikabalav ba'alabayit lishmor, unless he said befeirush that he's going to make certain that no damage occurs here against his pots or his shor or his peirot. But if he only told him come in means come in on your own cognizance. So now apparently that would be a machlokas here as well. What's enough going to be between the case over there? We said come in and it means on your own cognizance. Or over here we said set it down. It means on your own cognizance. Whereas according to Tanakama, it means by definition, if I tell you, it means you can trust me. Says the Gemara, who says it's the same? He might. Atkan lo kamer rabbana, maybe. The point of Dim Atkan lo kamer rabbana, that maybe the case over here would be hatam by the balachatzer, that over there, the very fact that he told him to come in, it means that he's mekabel and a shmira, is because he told him to come into a chatzer. A chatzer is bat niturei. Normally, a chatzer is mishtamer, by definition. So he doesn't have to do anything to be shomerit. So when he says, come in to my yard, it means, be like everything else in the yard, it'll be fine. So then he is taking responsibility. But that's because a chatzer is bat neturei. So v'chigamalei ayil, when he says come in, it means to be like everything else. He's not going to have to put himself out very much now, is he? To take care of something when there's a fence around it. So he means ayil d'interlach. He means I'll take care of it for you, gamalei. Avalacha mashenken over here. We're talking about a guy's in milrishus rabbim. He says watch my suitcase. I know it's a hassle for. What if I have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the airport over here? He's going to watch your suitcase. So avalacha, in this case where he asks him, takes up the kevin zeshukalav bat neturei. If he isn't going to actually stand on guard, somebody's going to walk off with this thing. So what he must mean when he says anach is, look, you can put it down, and v'tiv natalach, and then you could sit down and take care of it, Gomar Lehman. I'm certainly not going to commit myself to taking care of your suitcase. Or we could say just the opposite. Inami, what we could say is, atkan lokam a Rebbe hatam. The only reason that Rebbe says in that case where it's a chotzer, that when he says you can come in, that it means that he was not Mekabel Shmirah, just gave him Rishus to come in, is because he needed to ask permission to come in, right? So since it's his chatzer, it's b'chatzerot, because over there, the Le'ule Rishut Tekaboy, the Mishkamene, he needs, in order to go in, he needs to ask permission he can come in. So when the guy says, please come in, that is in fact a response to the permission that has been granted. So it's Le'ule, it's the Rishus to come in. But so if that's the case, that's all it's saying. And TV saying, come in, but, take care of your own problems. Tiva natar lecha is what he's saying, kamalei. Avalacha ma she'inke. where he's the only point of saying, please take care of my suitcases. If the guy says, you can put your suitcases down, I mean, thank you very much. Anybody can put their suitcase. I don't need your permission to put suitcases down over here in the airport. So what are you telling me? Put your suitcases down. You're not an idiot. You're saying, put your suitcases down. I mean, put your suitcases down and I'll take care of it for you, right? So hanach v'tiv natarka amale. Because what else could he mean? He la'ot for what? Just set it down. I don't need his rishus. Rishut tekabel mishkamine. Do I need to ask him if it's okay for me to put down my suitcases? Therefore, it must be that the case over there is unique to Rishut Rabbeinu. We can't bring any raya in either direction. From the machlokes of the Tanakam and Rebbe about the suitcases and about the chatzar to the case of the suitcases that we're discussing here.